the Football Sack Podcast, brought to you by Summerland Credit Union. Go to summerland.com.au for more info.
Pat, Western Sydney is the new franchise. Ben Buckley has just announced it this afternoon. Everyone knew it last night, but it's been officially announced. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think it's a bit premature. They've only got 6 months to sort out a team, and really they should have a couple of years.
The AFL have done that with GWS for a reason.
We're
a very nervy, tentative step into the heartland of Australian football and Australian everything.
Apparently, Western Sydney's the heartland of every sport in Australia.
Yeah, the NRL will have you believe it's theirs. AFL will now say that it's important they put a team there because that is the heartland of the AFL. Apparently, Australia was founded in Western Sydney. It's a panic buy.
Oh, exactly.
It's an absolute, you know, the Gold Coast, we expect tomorrow will be officially wound up. People who are enraged about that, calm down. Nobody wanted you anyway. Your own club didn't even want you. Your own town. Let's be honest. When you've got people campaigning saying this is an absolute disgrace, how dare they do this to the Gold Coast? Well, you had a couple of games there where you could have really put in a strong case, and you got a couple of thousand people turn up
exactly
for both games.
Well, I'm sure all the supporters will blame Clive Palmer, which is probably true, but
he's had a part in it. Yeah, they didn't vote with their feet once he was gone.
Yeah, the community didn't really.
No, they've earned their fault, Coast Monica. Yeah. Let's talk Western Sydney potential team names. It's going to be the big topic that people are talking about and throwing around. I've got a bit of a scoop.
Yeah,
I think I might have nailed it.
What do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to go for in keeping with the theme of the region.
Yep,
Western Sydney. Mm-hmm. I'm putting forward the Sydney Fully Sickers. Yeah, I like that.
Isn't it like a take on the Big Bash team, the Sydney Sixers?
They
could wear the same uniform.
Yeah, the bright pink. Yeah. It will just be the Fully Sixers in the off season.
Oh, that's great.
I like that.
I thought of one in keeping with like the Western Sydney vibe.
Yeah,
the Western Sydney Commodores.
At working class.
Exactly.
Yeah, I like it.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say this word, but Bogan. Does that encapsulate the Western Sydney? Even though we're not from Western Sydney, we get that vibe from the place.
I've been to Western Sydney.
Oh, you have?
Despite not being from Western Sydney. And I do believe that qualifies me to make these jokes. Another one that I've put forward is the Blacktown back of the net skis. I'd like to see that as well. Oh. And it's good because it's a goal scoring. It's an action. Exactly. Back of the net ski. Yeah.
Rolls off the tongue.
Oh, it does. Yeah.
The commentators will be loving it.
Oh, absolutely. Mike Cockle will be having a field day on that. Talks about stadium, where they're going to play, who are they going to get as a marquee player.
Well, they're saying Parramatta's the obvious choice, but they're also talking about the showground. Like, Bulldogs played there for a couple of years, and it was a terrible ground.
It didn't go well.
Yeah, like you're about 300 metres away from the action.
Yeah.
It's not a football ground.
No, it's not. It's a showground.
It's showground.
It's why it's called the showground. They nailed it when they named it. When they named the showground, they almost looked at each other and go, yeah, we've nailed that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right, good call. Good call. One of them went, football stadium? Nah. No, that's not what it's going to be, mate. It's a showground.
Easter show's here, so we might as well call it the showground.
Exactly.
Well, I think the Easter show's there.
I think so. I think that's the showground, is it?
I don't know. It's got to be.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Where else would you have it? We're not Sydney siders.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But that won't stop us from throwing stones from a distance. possible marquee players. I'm putting forward Armin Elrich.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Great signing.
Obviously, speaks to the region, bail pending.
Don't know if Western Sydney got the money to bail him out yet.
Yeah, if they can come up with bail. And Ben Buckley's all about firsts. This is a first for the A-League going into the Western Sydney, and it's the first time we could see a player playing in an ankle bracelet. So, it's exciting times.
A-League's for diversity, mate.
It is. It's very much about diversity, whether you are law-abiding or not.
Exactly.
What about sponsors? Have they gone into who a major sponsor they might attract?
I hear Fat Pizza from SBS. Yes.
first on the list. That's shirt sponsor.
Yeah.
So they're all going to play in those red caps as well, those guys.
And they'll be carrying around our pizza oven bags.
Yes, that's right.
Probably not. Doing stuff on the side, which we don't want to talk about.
Yeah. Making a little bit of extra cash. Yeah. Because they did say that this club would be different to the other A-League clubs because it would be half community-owned and community-sustainable. And obviously that means deals on the side, which can't be mentioned. So that's fine. So Fat Pizza, I like that.
Every game.
Oh, exactly, mate. Yeah, everyone's going to love Fat Pizza. Pizza. Yeah, that's so right.
It's a great sponsor.
Kit sponsor, have they announced that? Adidas, Nike,
something like that. I don't know. Maybe Lonsdale.
It's going to be Dada.
Yeah. Cava.
It's Cava. It's going to be shiny trackies with the button-ups down the side and extremely white shoes. Yeah. I am really looking forward to seeing this Western Sydney team in action.
And develop.
Yes. Look, in all seriousness, which I'm not all about on this show, and I want to steer it as far away as possible, it's a really, really sort of panic buy, as we said.
Knee-jerk reaction?
Knee-jerk is a good one. It's going to be very interesting to see how they cope with that and how Western Sydney embraces it.
Exactly.
You have to make this the community's team. Otherwise,
well, they've got it will so many flop. Codes fighting for their hard-earned cash, and A-League are going to have to do something out of the box to attract
to win them over.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to have to be the community's club. You can't just plonk a team there, call exactly. it the Rovers, say they're going to play in these colours and deal with it, everybody, because it'll flop. And it'll be the third flop from third attempt for Ben Buckley.
Really?
If his position wasn't untenable after the first two bids flopped, then, well, I think it probably was. But it will certainly be after the third.
Yeah, well, really, they should have planned this a bit better, like a couple of years in advance. Well, 6 months is not enough time.
No, it's not. It's nowhere near enough time.
They're not getting any backing from the state government. They're only getting $5 million from the federal government.
Yeah.
Just to update their training facilities, really.
What I don't like about this is, I mean, for starters, I understand that the North Queensland Fury had to go because they were hemorrhaging money. And, you know, it's not the FFA's job to prop up clubs in the A-League. Having said that, the FFA are now propping up one of the clubs in the A-League to help it get on its feet.
Exactly. It doesn't make sense.
I don't know if I was one of the other clubs, and I use the Central Coast Mariners as an example for a club that works really, really hard with community engagement and has to fight for everything they get, and then just to have Western Sydney just waltz in and be handed, fed with silver spoon.
$6 million they're getting from the FFA.
Yeah.
And really that money's coming from children's fees.
Yes, that's right.
Well, so if they're going to go up.
Expect to pay more kids.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think it's going to end well.
No, A-League need to learn from their past mistakes. I don't think they have.
What? They won't. Because the same people are still in the same jobs making the same mistakes.
Yeah, A-League hasn't embraced the community very well, I don't think.
No.
They really need to, get the kids involved. I don't know what they can do. Maybe give free season passes out to children who play football.
Yeah. Yeah, you should, because, I mean, it's hundreds of bucks to play football these days.
Yeah. You need some incentive to go to games.
Yeah, if you're a registered player, you should get a half-price season ticket, something like that.
Like, if they can get a young generation to, the A-League, 15 years' time...
it's an investment. It'll pay for itself over time.
Exactly. In 15 years' time, there could be 20,000 at every game.
Yeah, that's right. A-League. You know, and their kids will start coming to the game and will be brought up as fans of the Western Sydney...
Or any team, for that matter.
Well, yeah, exactly, yeah. We had this debate on the podcast quite a while ago. Christian and myself and Matt Greenlaw, the editor here of the Football Sack, his stance was ticket prices have to be reasonably high because we need to maintain a level that says we're offering a good quality product. You know, if you cheapen the ticket prices, do you cheapen the product? My stance was the opposite. I was, look, let's make the, $2 a ticket if you want, because that's the only way you've got to build that culture. The grounds are full week in, week out in the UK, and they pay three times as much for a ticket to go to a game as we do.
Yep.
The thing is, it's habitual because they're used to going because their dad was going, their granddad was going back in the day where it cost 5 cents to go to a game. So yeah, you just get in the habit of going until it gets to the point where you can't picture yourself not going to the football. Yep. And that's where it is in England at the moment, and we're not there yet in Australia. People are still making their choice about what they're going to do on their weekend. It's not habitual yet.
If you can get children to go, they'll bring their parents. It's just like if they're playing for a local team, their parents will support.
Kids equals plus two whenever you go, at least plus one, usually plus two.
Even if kids under 10 are free to every A-League game, at least the parents still have to pay.
Exactly. Yeah.
They're still making, and, they'll still probably yep. still make
and
the same amount.
They're still going to buy, fat pizza.
Exactly.
At the ground and, you know, some beverages of their choice. I like, oh. I like your model of thinking. But having said that, it makes sense.
Money
so
talk.
Don't expect it to happen.
Yeah.
We'll take a quick break. We'll talk about the A-League finals, which is, of course, in the mix of happening, despite all this stuff from the FFA taking over a little bit today. So stick around.
For the latest news, opinion, match reports, and for more on the A-League, head to our website at thefootballsack.com.
A-League finals kicked off on the weekend. Wellington Phoenix got us underway. 3-2 winners over Sydney. Have to feel for Sydney a little bit. They've been hit by Beecham. It's
typical Beecham.
Yeah. This is like when Liverpool conceded that goal against Sunderland and the beach ball got in the way. Sydney were on course to get themselves back in this game and then Beecham got in the way.
He seems to be able to do that all the time. Remember that he's a performance against Argentina?
Yes. He was he was playing in flat soles. Not wise to play in flat soles on a greasy surface. I'm not a massive Beecham fan, to be honest.
Neither am I.
Yeah, and it strings back to when he had a very bad haircut a few years ago. Any fans of The Simpsons, if you've ever seen The Simpsons episode where Mr. Burns recruits all the big leaguers to play in his softball team and he keeps yelling at Don Mattingly to shave off his sideburns and Mattingly shaves all the way up the side of his head, that's Michael Beecham's haircut from a few years ago.
Yeah, I think he was trying to go for the faux hawk look. That was a look back in the 2007. That was, you know, everyone had those big mohawk things.
The faux hawk?
That's what they're called, faux hawks.
Why is it called faux hawk?
I don't know. It's a faux hawk.
No, it's not. It's just a mohawk.
No, it's a faux hawk. That's what they're called. That's what that type of haircut's called.
Seriously? What, like the shave up over your ears look, but leave
like,
the rest of it?
Yeah, like, you know, like the shave sides and
so
kind of long and scruffy at the top.
Oh, so it's like a big mohawk. So mohawk is a thin one over the top
mohawk's
of your head.
Mohawk's like the big long things. Like,
yeah.
Big skinny.
Oh, so yeah. Mohawk's where you actually stick it up and spike it up, and a faux hawk is just
like
where you just shave off.
Like what all the footballers get.
Yeah. Where you just trim like around your ears real short, but you leave everything else.
Oh, Michael took it a step too far.
Yeah.
I think he got the zeros on the side.
he was getting sunburned above the ears. that's when you know you've gone a bit too short on the sides. He always looks confused. Michael Beecham always looks confused.
He is confused.
He and Peter Siddle are the two Australian sportsmen who always look confused. They always look like they've just before the cameras got to them, someone's asked them a really difficult question and they're just pondering. Wellington went through, not a great game and not a great crowd either was the other thing down in the Cape Town.
10,000 for a semi-final was not great.
10,000, I'll just correct you there, mate. It is not great for a semi-final, especially for a last game for the season, because of course they go to Perth now. They do the distance derby against Perth, who, speaking of which, had a great 3-0 win despite a pretty unwatchable first half.
Yeah, exactly.
Shane Smelt's 7 goals last 2 games.
He's on fire.
He's as on fire as the song at the start of the Premier League is. That song should just be played about him. Got some shiny new hair going on. I like the way Schmelty's looking.
Hey, he's looking good.
The thing is, in this league, you only need a top quality striker and you every shout of winning the competition. So who knows? Perth could do it. 3-0 there at home to Wellington next week. On the topic of crowds, that match has been another stroke of genius from FFA, this one, putting on a Perth Glory match at the same time as the West Coast Eagles play at home.
Well, let's just hope the Subiacos just full to capacity and no one else can get in, so they have to go to the...
Yeah, they're craving live sports so much that they'll just set up a detour and just
go to
funnel the spillover over to NIB Stadium.
I don't know if it's close to Subiaco, but...
I don't think anything's close in Perth, and I don't think nothing's close to Perth, nothing's close in Perth. Let's talk about the major semi-final. Brisbane 2-0 winners over Central Coast Mariners. The second goal for Partaloo was a huge goal in the context of that tie.
Exactly.
Cause I think 1-0 Central Coast probably fancy themselves going back to Blues time.
2 goals is hard to come back from really against the Brisbane rule.
Yeah. Well, the only thing that would worry or would give Arnie hope is the fact that he knows how fragile a 2 goal lead can be. So if you can throw away a 2 goal lead in a space of about 5 minutes, he'll know that over the space of 90, he still stands a chance. So.
Well, let's just hope they've played 2 games in the last couple of days. Let's just hope they're mentally fresh. by the weekend.
Yeah, we'll talk about that sort of in the next section. We'll talk about the ACL and all that sort of stuff. But that is interesting. Both teams playing the Asian Champions League this week, and the Mariners choosing to still start quite a few of their first teamers, which I was surprised about.
Well, it could come back to bottom butt, really.
Yeah, let's wait and see on that one. We'll talk about
the ACL. Let's just hope they didn't get any injuries last night.
Yeah, well, they had Josh Rose sent off, but obviously that only affects the ACL, not the ligament, the competition. But we will see how that... Of course, the bonus for the Mariners is that the Raw have to travel back from Ulsan, where they play tonight. So we've already started talking about the Asian Champions League, despite me promising that we were going to talk about it later. So what we will do is we'll put a quick little break in just right about here and thank one of our sponsors, and then we'll talk about the ACL.
The Football Fact Podcast is supported by the Asia Pacific Football Institute. To find out more, head to acfi.net.au.
Asian Champions League last night, Central Coast Mariners took on Seongnam at Central Coast Stadium, as it has to be called, because you can't show any sponsorship on your stadium in the ACL. They drew 1-1, Seongnam missed a penalty, hit the bar, Adam Kwasniq hit the post and also scored. And as you pointed out to me after he was on the podcast last week, we have a 100% being on the podcast to scoring the next week ratio here at the Football Sack.
That is a great ratio.
It is good. So
all A-League players want to call us up whenever?
Yeah. We were originally going to have Dean Heffernan from the Perth Glory on the show, but unfortunately the time we record clashes with them having a team lunch. So he didn't want to speak with his mouth full because he has great manners, so we'll have to catch up with Dean some other time. So
I'm thinking before the next season we get the cannon on.
Oh, Ryan Griffiths. I just want to hear him talk. It'll be cannon-like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But next game he plays, that cannon will unleash and I reckon...
Ryan Griffiths...
Bag of goals coming.
Yes. Ryan Griffiths earned the nickname The Cannon whilst playing in China.
Yep.
We heard about this a few years ago, found it rather hilarious because we'd never seen him kick anything hard, let alone to cannon standards.
Exactly.
He had a decent season this year, but still we haven't seen a net buster.
Yeah.
And in my mind, if you fire a cannon at a goal, it will break the net.
I want to see that.
Yeah. And I haven't seen him breaking it.
No.
So it's false advertising at the moment, but prove us wrong. Prove us wrong. Back to the ACL. Scoring last night, Adam Kwasniq. It was then cancelled out by Everton. Everton's goal for Seongnam, a really nice goal as well. So that's another draw for Central Coast in Asia. And what we were sort of talking about before that break was the fact that they played a lot of their first team. Now, the ACL is an interesting competition in that they try to make it like the European Champions League. Yep. It should be the marquee competition of the area. However, poor crowds are rampant throughout the competition.
It was dismal last night, wasn't it?
It was really awful. And the reason is because...
Like, you could hear the coaches barking orders on the sideline,
yeah,
clearly.
Yeah, exactly. You could almost hear the fourth official, Ravi Shastri, giving instructions. With the ACL, they try to be like the European Champions League. Now, the UEFA Champions League, all your teams sign off when you join the competition and hand over their rights to UEFA.
Yep.
So, you know, you can advertise in our stadium, we'll take down our advertising boards, you have the rights to our television coverage, our promotion, all that sort of stuff. And the clubs are happy with that because, like, if you win a game in the European Champions, like, you get like $4 million or something like that. You average out $10 million for taking part, in the European Champions League. The prize money for winning a game in the ACL is $20,000. By copying what UEFA do and demanding that all A-League, like, well, not just A-League clubs, but all clubs in the ACL strip their stadium of advertising, it means that the clubs lose out on advertising, obviously, because there's thousands of dollars they would have made by selling that signage to a sponsor for that match. Then you've got to think about how much it actually costs to have a stadium open for a football match. So you've got to turn the lights on, you've got to pay for stewards, etc., etc.
Transport.
Exactly. You've got to pay for transport. You've got to put up the officials when you play at home. You have to put them up in a hotel. Even if you win the game, you're not going to cover $20,000. So it's little wonder that teams often make strange selections. Like last night, people were saying, why isn't Rogic playing? Why isn't Amini playing? because I don't think the Mariners really care if they get knocked out. It's probably going to be a bit of a blessing in disguise. The only way you can make money out of that competition is to win it.
Yeah.
So you'll see teams, it's a bit like the Carling Cup in England, really. It's a reserve team comp until everyone gets to the semi-finals, and then they think, ooh, we could win this, and all of a sudden it's the first team again.
So. The only problem is when they're playing these second string players, the quality isn't great.
Exactly. It's hard to sell tickets to a game where people, that game last night, you wouldn't have blamed anyone for turning off.
Like, last night, I don't know about you, but I was flicking between channels.
Yes, I was channel surfing. Yep, guilty as charged. Yeah.
I was Toddlers and Tiaras when I was watching that. And I'm not joking.
I was going to the golf show. I was going to the golf show. It's a little bit better than yours. there's a little point that people aren't interested in the ACL, and something really needs to be done about that. So it'll be interesting to see what sort of team the Roar put out tonight, away in Ulsan, and we'll see how well they hold up coming back to play on the weekend. So very, very interesting.
One thing I'd like to know is how the commentators learn all those Asian names.
They do well. Yeah.
I don't know.
It's got to be a cram session.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's going to have people asking, what's the point of the ACL? So we shall see. Questions to be answered in Asia. If you would like to contact the show here at the Football Sack Podcast, you can do so by emailing us info@thefootballsack.com or Twitter me directly, Jack_Quigley, I think is my Twitter thing. Pat, you're not a Twitterer.
No, I'm not.
No, we'll have to get you on Twitter. I'll start a hashtag, get Pat on Twitter.
All right.
That'll get six or seven people talking about it. Or join the Facebook group. Join Facebook, first of all, or if you've already done that, you're halfway there already, search for The Football Sack and like us. Remember to upload your demotivational posters to the Facebook wall. We want to see the best that you've got. And we will be back next week to discuss further football matters, the second leg of the major semi-final, as well, of course, the latest of the Sydney expansion franchise, which I'm hearing now down the wire could be, in keeping with the FFA curriculum, could be called the Fairfield 433ers. So that'd be nice to see. And when the team bus turns up before the game, you'll hear it coming, like with the so the bass and the subwoofer will come in. They'll have hydraulics in the team bus, so it bounces a few times as it comes in. It's all for show.
Also, Eddie McGuire from Channel 9 has said that he would like to create an Underbelly series based on the Western Sydney FC team in 20 years' time, because surely there's going to be some stories that come out of this.
Yeah, there's going to be the odd story. Liam Reddy hit the headlines earlier in the week, arriving in Wellington drunk for Sydney's semi-final.
That's the play Western Sydney needs.
They're going to get together the Reddies. He's a former Western Sydney player. I think he played Parramatta Power, Liam Reddy. So you've got Liam Reddy, Armin Elrich. It's all coming together.
Maybe even sign up Willie Mason as a cross-coder.
Yeah. He's looking, AFL style.
Yeah, he's looking for a contract at the moment.
Yeah. So. It could be their answer to Mustapha Amini. He can be Western Sydney's man with the fro.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He used to play for Canterbury, so.
Yeah, he knows the area. That's right. He'll know his way to the showground. Yeah. So, all right. Thanks for coming, mate.
No worries.
See you next week. This has been the Football Sack Podcast. See ya.
That was the Football Sack Podcast. If you haven't already, subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with all of the football action across Australia.